Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibs continues, but no Mark Willard this week. It's Dan Dibley, FP Santangelo, and Mark Randy with you on Willard and Dibs until 6 o'clock today as we inch closer to the trade deadline. Now about 23 and a half hours away from the trade deadline. We'll be live on the air tomorrow when the deadline goes down. So all the news that happens, keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game. Whether you're in your car, listening on your radio, on the Odyssey app, you can also watch us live on Twitch and YouTube. Twitch.tv/957TheGame and YouTube.com/957TheGame. Subscribe to the channel for all of our content and make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. We appreciate it. Everything we do there is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You can also go back through the Odyssey app, the rewind feature. You can go backwards in our YouTube live stream, tab over to our videos page on YouTube, and you can check out a conversation we just had with former Giants assistant GM and former Dodgers GM Ned Colletti, a friend of FP's, who was, you know, bringing back the curtain. What is it like as a GM, a person in the front office making all these decisions on deadline day and the days leading up to deadline day? What is Farhan going through right now? The Giants 2 games under .500, 3.5 out of a wild card spot. He was going through GM math. You're not really 3.5 out. Maybe you're more like 7, 8, or 9 games out because you got so many teams you got to jump. He's telling us that bluffing goes away with an hour to go. And I mean, I think we all came away with the same thing, and so many people on our Xfinity mobile text line texting in the same thing. You got to be a bad dude to pull off a big move that helps your team at the trade deadline. And I think there's a lot of Giants fans out there who just simply don't have the confidence that Farhan is the right guy to do that. And I don't know if you can blame them, considering what the trade deadline has been for the Giants during Farhan Zaidi's tenure. You got Chris Bryant, and that helped you win the division in 2021. But beyond that, you haven't really done anything. And I think for that reason, whether the Giants want to go into this, guys, as buyers or sellers, or if it's somewhere down the middle, I think there's a lot of Giants fans who just feel like whatever the move is, it's not going to be enough and it's not going to be worth it because it's him making the decisions.
I get that. And I also think that it's important that we don't look at it in terms of buying and selling, because really all you're trying to do is improve your roster, and that's, and you're trying to acquire assets.
You're learning.
Good job. I'm trying.
Give you an A+ for that.
It's funny because by the time you're gone, and then Randy and I all
buy
week,
or
and
sell
Willard next week, I'm going to be spitting all the Santangelo rhetoric that he missed because he's in Hawaii, and I doubt that he's streaming the show. I saw a picture that he posted. He's at the beach.
Earbuds in, listening to Willard
totally,
and Dibs live on the
Christie.
Beach.
Yeah,
he's got issues if he is.
No doubt. But I don't know if you look at what's available. Like, we don't even know what teams are going to part with, but when I look at the standings and I see of the 30 teams in baseball, literally 22 of them fancy themselves as in the race. So now you're looking at 8 teams that might be looking to part with assets. And so the competition for those assets would be very high. It'd be tremendous. So the more I look at the Giants and what they might look to do to improve their roster, most of the improvements I think are already within. I don't know if there is a golden ticket out there or a player that they potentially could get, a player who might spring free from one of those 8 teams that could actually appreciably make them better.
Why don't I go devil's advocate real quick?
Go ahead.
And I did say this earlier, so if you're just joining us, repeat myself, that if you make a move to appease the fan base, as any president of baseball operations right now, it's the worst thing you could possibly do. But what if, just what if, you're feeling the heat for your job a little bit, and you're hearing the outside noise, and
that
you
seems
feel,
realistic
you
for the
feel
situation.
The pressure to pull off a big thing. You feel like you want to, and if like Ned said, if you just can't hang up the phone on a deal, what if for whatever reason, and I hear the noise and I hear the fans, he shocks us all with a deal that you're just like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Like what? He gets Luis Robert in here.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. It's just one that we all go, wow, we did not see that coming. We did not think he had that in him based on what you just said, track record, which I think is fair. It's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Chris Bryant, 2021. Last year was just AJ Pollock. 2019, his first deadline. They sold a couple of pieces. Haven't really done much around the margins.
So you're feeling the heat. You're not going to do it to appease the fan base, but maybe you're thinking, if we don't do something in October, I'm gone. And you're looking at it realistically that I got to pull something off here. And maybe at the last second, last hour, you're pulling the trigger on something you might not have before just because.
As Ned told us, the bluffing goes away in the last hour. Oh, he stops bluffing and he finally is willing to part with so-and-so prospect that he never brought up in the hours of phone calls they had earlier.
And then all of a sudden they have, based on the schedule, the next 12 games, they make a run, they leapfrog a few teams, they're playing in October. Would that appease Giants fans just to get to the playoffs?
Well, what if it costs them Bryce Eldridge and Carson Wisenhunt to get Vladdy in here?
I don't know.
And then 5 years from now, Bryce Eldridge is an MVP for the Blue Jays.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But it's the risk you run when you're trying to do these kind of things.
I want parades, man. I don't care about prospects until they get here and I can watch them play at Oracle Park. I really don't. I mean, I'll watch video on X or Twitter, whatever we call it now, of Eldridge and go, wow, that's a good swing. Or I'll watch Wisenhunt's changeup and go, okay, that's good. But until they're here, until they're helping the Giants win games, great. Just stockpile your minor league with prospects all you want, but until that translates into a championship or a division, I don't care.
Well, the guy about to take the bump, in fact, he's summiting the mound as we speak right now in Philadelphia, ready to take on the Yankees, Zach Wheeler. He was a deadline day deal for the Giants.
For rental.
Yeah, maybe it was the day before the deadline, right around the deadline, whenever it was, 2011, the year after the Giants won their first World Series. They got Carlos Beltran for a couple of months. He was decent as a Giant, but they missed the playoffs. And now Zach Wheeler is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's been that way for years now. And again, you only had Beltran for a couple of months. That's the risk you run.
It is the risk. And, you know, I think that you look at this team, and FP was talking about the seat. How hot is the seat for Farhan Zaidi? And would just making the playoffs change that? If you found your way into the third wild card and that was it, you lost in the wild card series and you didn't advance, would that make his seat less hot? I don't know. That's an internal conversation that I'm not privy to, but I look at what he did, what he was expected to do between last year and this year, and I think he mainly went out there and did it. They got a long-term deal with Jung-Hoo Lee, and he looks like he's going to be a good player when he gets healthy. You needed a slugger. You got Soler, and he hasn't been as good as you'd hoped, but you got Matt Chapman. Your defense was improved. You brought in starting pitching, and the fans are showing up more often to Oracle Park. So I do think that for the most part, Farhan Zaidi did what was asked of him. He's got two more years under contract. I don't personally think, and again, this is me on the outside looking in, I don't look at his seat as, okay, you better do something between now and tomorrow at 3 o'clock or your job's in jeopardy.
I think if you're the Giants and you're Farhan and you are thinking about maybe trying to save your job, save your life as the Giants president of baseball operations, and you're maybe a little more eager or encouraged to go out there and try to make a move because you know what's waiting for you if you don't. And if you miss the playoffs, then you try to go out there and take a big swing. I think the worst thing that could happen and maybe the quickest way for Farhan to catch the boot is if he goes out and makes a move for a rental, gives away high prospects, and it doesn't work out and you miss the playoffs anyway, and suddenly now your cupboard is a little more bare than it already is, and you're not, you know, experiencing postseason baseball anyway. So if there is a big move for the Giants to make to add to the roster, not talking about trading current major leaguers away, trading Blake Snell away, trading Chapman away, trading, you could do a little bit more on the margins, I suppose, with Conforto or Yaz or something like that, but not talking about Snell and Chapman right now. If you're trying to go out and bring someone else in, it would have to be for me to even be comfortable with it, and maybe it's because I'm in a position where I don't feel like this team has what it takes to go out and make a run deep into October. It has to be for someone that at the very least is under team control for next year too. You have to have them beyond this coming season. If Farhan and the Giants go out and go and acquire a rental, and even if it works out and you make the playoffs, but you fall short of winning a championship, that's dangerous, in my opinion. It's got to be someone going out like Vladdy, who's under team control for another year. Luis Robert with the Chicago White Sox, who has three more years of team control. Bo Bichette is also a name from the Blue Jays, one more year under contract. I don't think the A's will ever trade with you, but Brent Rooker, who's got three more years of team control. He's a power hitter, not much of an outfielder, but he could DH for you, although you've already got Soler there, so maybe that's not a fit. But my point, guys, is if there is a little bit of pressure, as you were talking about, on Farhan to maybe make that big move, kind of similar to a Chris Bryant move from 2021, to make that big move to maybe try to save yourself, it's got to be positioned for more than just 2024. And maybe that's where what's best for the organization versus what's best for Farhan are kind of in conflict, because maybe at this point all Farhan cares about is 2024.
You know what's more important than anything we've talked about today?
What?
Regardless of what happens at the trade deadline, is that that ball club plays good baseball for the next 2 months. If with the roster as it's assembled, say nothing changes, if they play good baseball for the next 2 months, catch the ball, throw strikes, run the bases aggressively, intelligently, no stupid balls drop in the outfield, no weird stuff that we've seen all year. If they play fundamentally sound baseball, and I don't know if you flip a switch and can do that at this point, but they did against the Rockies. For the next 2 months, they'll make the playoffs, regardless of their makeup. Here's my theory in baseball. If you give me a bunch of guys that play the game right, and they control what they can control every night, which is going out there and having a good attitude and playing hard, and they do that on a nightly basis, you're going to win more games than you lose. Right now, the Mets are in it. They're 55-50, five games over 500. They're the third wild card. If the Giants play good baseball for 2 months, like they played the last 4 days, they will be over 500, and they will be in the mix for the playoffs. Now, if you have a team with horses, like the Yankees and the Phillies, and you play good baseball, you can be 20 games over. You can be 25 games over because you got the pieces and you're playing good baseball. It's not about going out on a nightly basis and trying to win a baseball game. It's going out on a nightly basis and playing good freaking baseball, like fundamentally sound baseball. Don't do stupid stuff. Make all the plays. Turn the double plays. Catch the fly balls. Keep the double play in order. Go first to third. Tag up on a fly ball. Pick up every runner from third less than two outs. Throw strikes. Don't walk people. Don't hit people. Just play good baseball for 2 months, whatever, however many games are left, and they'll be in the right spot. So is there an urgency to make a big move for me? I don't think so. I think Judge just went deep, by the way.
Yeah, really deep.
Off-wheeler, they didn't trade him soon enough.
Yeah, you can have Zach.
Good trade, totally. Sabian.
Yeah, good trade. No, but like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think it's fun to talk about, and the trade deadline is fun. Like Ned said, Ned Colletti joined us, and he said that, like, he misses this part. So it's
best time of the year.
It's fun.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
For us, it's not fun for the players. It's not fun for the front office right now here. It's not fun for the coaches. But I think just to simplify everything, if this team plays good baseball, they'll be right there at the end of September.
Should be. And that, honestly, and that's something that Ned said as well, when you get to August 1st and you're able to exhale and breathe deep and you're still on the team and wherever you are, okay, you got 54 more games, one third of the year. You've got 162 of them. That breaks into 54, 54, and 54. So now you've got one third of the year still left to go. And you don't have to think about, well, if we go 30 and 24, we have a chance, or like you're saying, FP, just play baseball. Play better baseball. And I think the last four games should give them a little bit of a shot in the arm because you pitched it well. For the most part, you fielded it well, and you ran well on the bases. And, you know, you didn't hit it great, but that's okay. You didn't have to because your pitching is at a point where you really only need four runs. And I ran the numbers last week about when you score four runs, what your record is versus when you only score three. I think they were 9-28 when they score three or fewer runs. So just get to four, and with this pitching staff, you might be able to win with three a lot of times, as long as you don't make those sloppy mistakes, you know, fly balls dropping in the outfield, the shortstop who can't field, and, you know, you're throwing the ball all over the place, and you're not running, you're not holding runners, all those things we've seen all year.
Holding runners.
Yeah.
Like, attention to detail. Play the game the right way. Focus. Like, play fundamentally sound baseball. To me, and what do I know? I could be way off here, and people are like, what is he talking about? Is far more important than what happens tomorrow. It'll be fun for us to talk about if something big happens. We'll get excited if something big happens. We'll be pissed if nothing happens. But I don't think I'll be pissed if nothing happens, in the sense that this roster was constructed, and it is on the players. It's on them to play better. Like, this isn't, I don't know, rocket science. Just go out and play better. And I think when you start with four games against a bad team and they won and they did what they're supposed to do, that now you relax a little bit. And relaxation and confidence are huge. We don't talk about it. It's all launch angle, exit velocity, spin rate, OPS. Like, it's about relaxation and confidence. And if these guys can have confidence and swagger and get to and play to their ability, where they're not trying to get seven hits every night, they're not trying to win three games every night, they're just going out playing good baseball, this thing could have, might have, possibly have turned around the last 4 days. I don't know if that's the case, but I've seen it happen before.
You make it sound so simple.
It is.
When you say it, it makes it like, all right, yeah, they could do it. They could 54 games left. I mean, you break down the numbers.
It's not that hard.
The Mets right now, 55-50, a winning percentage of 524.524. They're the third and last wild card spot right now. So let's just consider that the benchmark, what you need to get to be a postseason team, to get the third wild card team. That would extrapolate it out to 162 games, mean you go 85-77. For the Giants to get to 85-77, they got to go 32-22 over their final 54. Doable, but at a certain point, you're talking about doing the simple things and playing the game the right way and not booting the ball around and holding runners on and maybe stealing a couple of bases yourself and making smart decisions and just playing the simple game the right way. You make it seem pretty easy, but we have 105, 108 games of sample size where they haven't done it on a consistent basis. And at a certain point, you get to be like you're Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill. And you're just doing the same thing over and over and only for it to just fall all the way back down. Let's begin rolling it back up again. It's going to roll right back down again. And I get everything that you're saying. And maybe it was just a case of injuries. And now you get the pitching staff back. You pair that with a four-game win streak and suddenly you're feeling good. And it just switches immediately. But if I'm using the last 108 games as the judge, it seems a little bit foolish to just think they're immediately going to turn it around and that things are going to be great for the final 54 games.
It doesn't have to just completely turn around, but you look at what you have now that you didn't have most of the year, and you've got a rotation. You've got five good pitchers, maybe six if Cobb comes back. So that allows your bullpen that's been used more than any of the bullpen in baseball. You would hope that you can start to maximize the bullpen. And you got Jordan Hicks going down there, and that's a good arm to have in your bullpen. So you think that at least on the surface should be better than it's been all year.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great. Why?
You're so positive today.
I'm always positive.
I know. So I like it. Yeah. I like the takes.
Well, I just, you know, you look at it.
Pitching's everything. That's how we had three parades right down the street we're looking at here.
Right. And I think you look at the hitting, and if you don't add anybody, then your lineup is going to be basically what it is, right? You've got Tyler Fitzgerald, who is unbelievable. And other than that, you don't have a lot of real consistent hitters. You've got, you know, Ramos has been really good since he's been back, and the rest of your team, pretty up and down. Lamont Wade's been solid when he's been healthy. He gets on base, but you're not going to all of a sudden be a team that scores eight runs a game. So if you are looking to go on a run, and Mark's right, 32-22, would get you to 85, and 85, I think, gets it done for the third wild card. Well, how do you go about doing that? It's going to have to be your pitching.
Just go 1-0 every day, man.
Win 1-0. Yeah, just don't just give up a run.
Just win a game.
You 1-0, of course.
We could look at it like 32-22, but players don't look at it that way. Coaches don't look at it that way. Maybe front offices do, but you're just trying to win one game. And then you come back to the ballpark tomorrow and you try to win one game.
Yeah.
I have the World Series ring that their motto was go 1-0 today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's engraved in the inside of the ring. I'll bring it and show it to you guys. I had nothing to do with it. I think I had a pretty good year talking. I talked well that year. So I got
with the Nationals?
I got a ring. Yeah.
Nice.
And I still have the Giants one for talking well that year. I never had one as a player, but like I live by that. But you can live by that motto. It doesn't have to be sports. Go 1-0. Like win the day.
Win the day.
Just win the day. Mm-hmm. And like simplify it. If you're like, oh, I got to have all this stuff done by Friday or by next month, I want to be here, here, and here. Maybe that works for some people. I'm just all about being in the moment and trying to win the day.
I get it, but 108 games. They're 53-55. They're 3.5 back of a wildcard. Like I can easily see both sides. I really can.
They didn't have Robbie Ray for 108 games. They didn't have Blake Snell that's pitching right now for 108 games. They didn't have Tyler Fitzgerald, who solidified a position that was a huge question mark for 108 games. So like things are looking a little bit better. Am I saying they're going to beat the Phillies or the Yankees in the World Series? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying like after four games, it's against the Rockies. I hear everybody out there, but it's got to start somewhere, and it doesn't matter where it starts.
You're 10-3 versus the Rockies. You're 43-52 against everybody else.
Yeah, this team's been maddening. Like, I'm not going to deny there's times when I'm just sitting at home or I'm in the booth calling that I'm just like, what is going on? This can't happen. Like the other day, I lost it on air when Camilo Duvall, the tying run was on first, and he took off like 5 seconds before he threw it. And I'm like, you have to pay attention to the tying run on first.
And that's happened
you
all year.
To. And I couldn't help it.
So
it
why is it
going to
change now?
Well, it doesn't have to change now, but
I'm not saying it is.
You know,
I'm
just go 1-0 tomorrow.
Going 1-0
you got
tomorrow.
The A's and.
Yeah, they can hit, by the way. That team can hit.
Lawrence
they
Butler.
They can hit.
I mean, you've got a series of winnable opponents, beatable opponents coming up. The easiest schedule post-All-Star break is yours. So just go out there and go 1-0 on Wednesday, on Tuesday.
You got Robbie Ray going on Tuesday. You're going to get Alex Cobb back at some point, probably this weekend series against the Cincinnati Reds. I think one thing that is interesting that we haven't gotten into yet, and we got a couple minutes left here in this segment. And Mark, I see you on hold. We'll get to you in a sec. The Giants are at a point where you're going to have to be a little bit maybe creative with your pitching staff. I don't know how you guys would feel about Hayden Birdsong and the rest of his regular season, because he has done nothing but impress everybody while being up here. Even with Hicks going back to the bullpen, you include Alex Cobb who's coming back. You include Hayden Birdsong. You got six starting pitchers. Maybe the presence and, you know, Hayden Birdsong exploding onto the scene, maybe that encourages you to sell one of your pitchers at the deadline. Maybe that's a factor here that we're not really considering, whether or not you want to get rid of one guy or try to get a prospect haul for one of these players or not. Who knows? But maybe Hayden Birdsong's emergence wasn't something you were counting on, and that could be a reason why you're a little more open to trading away a starting pitcher, because you know that you got Birdsong, who's been nothing but awesome in his handful of starts.
Well, one of the most frustrating things for me that I've seen over the past 2 or 3 years as a fan is players not getting rewarded for performance. And to see a guy like Hayden Birdsong strike out 12, and I know you need a roster spot against the Dodgers, I understand that all, but there's something to be said for sitting on the top step at Dodger Stadium watching a series as a 22-year-old kid.
And just knowing that you're here to stay.
And just walking around with your like a peacock for 4 days at Dodger Stadium after you struck out 12 at Coors Field. There's something to be said with Spencer Bivens pitching some of the most important games of the year for the Giants dealing, and he's well-liked in the clubhouse, like Dave Fleming said on your air, like to be a part of the team. And so I know that there's roster moves, and I know you're trying to manipulate things to make your team better, but there's human beings inside those uniforms. And I would love to see guys that perform be rewarded on a more regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Very well said. And I'll be interested how the Hayden Birdsong question is answered for the Giants moving forward. I think he was officially sent back down to single A after the doubleheader, because just the way the rules work, you needed to clear up that 27th, the extra man after that doubleheader. I would imagine he's going to be back at some point again, but where does it go once Alex Cobb is back in this rotation? Hayden Birdsong, he's certainly pitching good enough to stay. 888-957-9570. Mark, I see you on hold. We're coming to you on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs, FP and Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs. As always, we continue next here on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.